Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties. Says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fat on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Obama. Shut up your mouth, Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. Thank God it looks like we're on tonight. I don't know what the hell happened last night. Couldn't hear the music. Paul Alexander was on there. He was trying to hear what the hell was going on. All he could hear was music. I couldn't hear music. And then music cut out, I can tell by the numbers, and no one could hear me. So not much I could do. Refreshed it a million times. Tried this, tried that. Who the hell knows what happened? I don't know. But we're on tonight. I was. Thank God I wasn't on the air. Because I said a few words. Even made up a few. Anyway, we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Doesn't matter if I lost a show last night, I'm back up again tonight. You knock me down tonight, I'm going to be back up tomorrow night. You don't like it? I don't like you. Freedom ain't cheap, but that's all right. We can afford it. We can afford it. It's tyranny that we cannot afford. We must never afford. A lot of people like it. For whatever reason, they think that it's okay to have the government think for them. Well, the government, they know better. Oh, yeah, they know. Yeah, they're smart. Yeah, they won an election. So just because you win an election means that you're more qualified than anybody else? I mean, what? Huh? You know better than the public because you won an election? Or should I say stole an election? You don't get elected to high power without stealing. It doesn't matter what party you're on. I don't give a damn what your stupid party is. You don't get elected unless you steal. Whoever steals the most votes gets elected, just the way it is. We do have ways of correcting that problem. outbreak can be legit, but you see, this administration thinks that that's racist if you, well, conduct a legitimate vote where people who, you know, aren't qualified to vote, can't vote, don't vote, blocking people who aren't qualified to vote and they vote several times and then admit it and then gets a government grant for hundreds of thousands of dollars. But if you're a Tea Partier and you believe in freedom for everybody, well, you've got the IRS down your neck and Elijah Cummings, he's knocking at your business door there, wanting, demanding information. I mean, it's like, what the hell? That's not a congressman's job, is last time I checked. Why would a congressman be coming to her door doing the IRS's job, which the IRS doesn't even do that? They make you, they send you a letter and you got to mail it in. So why the hell was Elijah Cummings? It was Engelbrecht, that's her name. To her business. I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, it's hard for me to keep track of all these, you know, these people that have been targeted by this government. That's all of us. In one way, one form, one fashion, we have been targeted by our government. And we keep allowing it. And we keep voting for more of it. And we keep liking it. Well, I hate it. It sucks. And I don't want it. Well, as long as you know. Well, as long as you know. God, I can't even talk to them. I haven't even started the show yet. Good God. This is what happens when you talk about liberals. As soon as you get liberal on your mind, immediately, you start talking like them. Blah, 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 blah. Please do not think of Nancy Pelosi there. I did. I just did it. God only knows where I'm going to end up tonight. Just the thought of that woman just makes you stupider. Long as there's one liberal on planet Earth, that's all it takes. Just one of them filthy little bastards on planet Earth, and it screws everything up. All progress is, any kind of logic is now, well, discarded. Looked down upon. Ridiculed. Demeaned. There still is a very growing number of people that are just desperate to take away your freedom. Why? I don't know. What are they going to do with it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe keep it in a safe. Keep it in a, what was that? What was that numbnuts? What the hell was his name, that vice president? Al Gore. We going to keep it in a lockbox? Huh? What? What are you going to do with all that freedom? Huh? What are you going to do with it all? Put it in a museum? Charge money so people can see what it used to look like? Here, this is what freedom used to be, kids. Yeah, you don't know about that. Yeah. See, that's evil. That's racist. Well, there's only one way to combat that nonsense, and that's to lift your ship and get your freedom ship underway. I'm impatient tonight. There we are. We're officially underway and headed out to sea. Post-it mate, shift colors. All right. Now, before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, as always, I have to talk about my mates. My mates are these families that are being completely ripped apart, torn apart from inside. Bonus money? A little bit of fudging the numbers to make it look like you're actually doing your job so you can get more money? They think it comes from the government. They know these people don't understand it doesn't come from the government. comes from the American people. They don't get that. They think government just has an endless flow of money. And if they run out, all they have to do is tax the rich. But every time the rich gets taxed, well, they take it out on the poor. Somebody's going to get hosed. It doesn't matter what happens. But if you were to stop screwing with things and allow the market to simply run free and give people the opportunity, what they want, not what you, the government, wants, but what the person wants, the individual. And if there's not enough openings, you know, for a particular job, well, he might have to reevaluate his career decisions. Be a little creative. But it's up to the individual, not to the government, to decide. Nor is it up to the government to decide what is best for your children. Just so somebody can, well, keep their job or hire more people so it looks like, you know, because it's election year and it looks like, hey, look at all the people that we, you know, the jobs we created. They're not creating any more jobs. You're taking away jobs. The private sector runs the public sector. So the more public sector jobs you get, which are government jobs, well, it takes away from the private sector. So you're not adding jobs, you're taking away jobs. You're taking away jobs from the private sector, which builds the economy. But, you know, you can't tell a liberal that. Well, why? Well, because it's got logic in it. You know, it makes sense. So you can't tell that to a liberal. My God. What the hell's the matter with you? These people these days. Well, there's a lot of people involved in this medical kidnapping, whatever you want to call it. And there's a lot of different excuses that they use. I mean, there's an excuse for this. There's an excuse for that. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for that. Yeah, there's a side where the children are being kidnapped to be used for medical experimentation. The other ones are that they receive bonuses by more kids that are put into certain foster care homes. They get bonuses for adoptions. Pharmaceutical industry. If they're special needs, well, their parent, they get more money. Everybody's making money off of children. I mean, can't you see how sick and twisted and disgusting that is? Why this is not front page news every night? I don't know. Why this is not on every damn stupid television show every night? I don't know. I can't figure that one out. But it's not. But it's here. I can't stop talking about it. I mean, we're using children for monetary gain, for prestige gain, for political gain. For career gain. These are children. Nobody wants to see the fact that these are actual people. Not only are the children being affected, but, well, the parent or parents, the grandmas, the grandpas, the cousins, the neighborhood, all your friends. People in your churches and other organizations, crap you belong to, your whole community. country is being affected. But nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, well. Children are being abused. They're being raped. Physically abused. Put on drugs that have no reason for these children to be on these narcotics, and that's exactly what the hell they are. Nobody wants to talk about it. Oh, it's boring. All right, fine. Justina Pelletier, we gave you a week. You know, she's home. Let it go. There's an election coming up. It's more important. We don't have time for this. Yeah, until it's your child that is kidnapped. Then what? Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Well, you know it. I'm going to put this in here again. This is an organization that me and Lou Bussey, we've come to, there it is in the chat room there. It's called A-Force. A-F-O-R-C-E. And we help out families that have been twisted and ripped apart. We try to do the best that we can. We're trying to grow. We need volunteers. You want to spend, you know, just 15, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever you can do. Make a couple of phone calls. That's fine. But Austin Blakely looks like now, I got two cases here and then I got a bunch of news. But I cannot leave my show without talking about my mates here. His case was yesterday. They lied. Said that they took Austin to the hospital. They haven't. The judge refused to, you know, again, to look at the evidence. They don't want to look at the evidence. Why the hell would a judge want to look at the evidence? I'll never know. That doesn't make any sense to me. His name is James Yancey. And that's in the Barstow, Florida area. I mean, these people are snakes. They got the DCF attorney, Kristen Della Penna. I mean, these people, they don't see these kids as people, as humans. Their money. How can I boost my career? Caseworker, her name is Helen Jesse. I don't know what good she's done. Nobody wants to step up. No cop, no judge, no politician, no attorney. No social worker, no foster care parent, you know, whistleblower here and there, and they get fired and ostracized from their community. Is that what people are really afraid of? I mean, these are children being torn from a loving, caring family into a very dangerous environment where they are raped, physically abused, emotionally abused. There is no love anymore. You can't get what mama can give you from a foster care parent or a DCF attorney or a judge or a social worker or a cop. You got to get that from mama, and that's it. Nobody wants to see that part of it. Nobody wants to see that side. They can't make any money off of their child that way. Well, we're still fighting for you, Austin. Hang in there, kid. He's 17 now. He's got about, what, 9, 10 months before he's 18, and then they just dump him off. And these kids, they go homeless. There's what? What the hell is that? I think it's 18 more times. Or 10 more times likely to be homeless. Nearly half are homeless. That's what it is. Nearly half are. Unbelievable. Two nights in a row? This better not happen tomorrow night. God damn it. I have no idea if we are on or not. I mean, this is absolutely friggin' ridiculous. I mean, come on. I got a guest coming on here tomorrow night. I got two guests coming on here. I can't be having this crap tomorrow night. I don't know what the hell's going on. But it looks like we're on. Yeah, last night, I mean, I don't know what went on that with that. And now tonight? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, Melissa Willis, her hearing was yesterday. And they're telling her, keep up the fight. Keep up fighting. It looks good. Well, first of all, she shouldn't have to be fighting. It's her children. She's got four special needs children. And the husband left. And she was there by herself. And because somebody at the school complained. That's all it takes is one complaint. You don't need evidence. You just need a complaint. So some busybody at the school said that the little boy was had dirty clothes. Well, a little boy with dirty clothes. Oh, my God. No. Really? A little boy with dirty clothes. Social worker goes over there. Well, got to take the kid. And the cop who had the opportunity to stop it, didn't. He did happen to mention, though, like John Kerry, he raised the issue and said, you know, this, you know, you don't need to take the kids. The woman just needs a little help. Nope. Got to take their children. So they took them. And the cop did it with no evidence. And the cop even said, well, she doesn't need to have her children taken away, but he did it anyway, which makes him just as guilty as everybody else. They're all guilty. I can't give the cops a pass on this. No way. The DCF was pushing for adoption. Of course, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. I guess the judge, you know, kind of poo-pooed that a little bit. But you never can tell. You know, you can't trust these judges. He might get a kickback, and he might figure out a way he can make some money. But everybody, there's a lot of pressure from the supervisors of all these social workers to increase adoption. So they can get more federal dollars. And more federal dollars means, well, they get a bonus. Everybody gets more money. And it's their job. And they pressure these social workers to increase adoption. Well, there's a whistleblower. She's in Kentucky. And, of course, you know, she lost her job. Well, she talks about she noticed that there were two foster care parents. They had criminal records. They had a son. I guess he was either teenage or, you know, probably in his early 20s. He had multiple felons. There was a sex offender. And that would come over to the house and babysit these children. Well, why they were even allowed to be foster care parents anyway, I mean, it just tells me, you know, obviously nobody's checking up on this before. Well, she refused to arrange this adoption. Well, her supervisors answered with a memo that said recommending that the adoption proceed quickly. And, of course, she lost her job. Then she sued, and she was paid $380,000. That's fine that, you know, she got the money, but what about the kids? What about the parents? What about them? Were they reunited? I mean, what about them still? it's never about the kids. It's always about, well, the whistleblower and the DCF. Nobody's talking about the parents and their children that had their lives completely destroyed so somebody can get a bonus. And somebody can sue and make a lot of money. That's what this is about? Evidently so. 7 to 8 times more likely to be abused. These are kids that are in foster care. Again, we know over half of them are homeless at age 18. 3 times more likely to be put on psychotic drugs. I think that number is a little low. They do put those kids on drugs a lot. And they're doing them in school. 7 times more likely to develop an eating disorder. Well, who doesn't have an eating disorder? When them bastards at the supermarket put ice cream on sale, and I happen to walk by, and it's a really good sale, I quickly get an eating disorder. And yeah, I can eat a whole gallon of ice cream in one sitting, no problem. I feel it later. Yeah, I feel the pain. But, and they have this peppermint cookie ice cream, and I've never had it before, and they had it on sale at Walbaum's, and I, you know, seen it, and I was like, oh, man, it's on sale. I'm walking by. All right, fine. I was like, damn, this was good. Well, went back. They still had it on sale. Bought another one. It doesn't last long. Ice cream doesn't last long in my house. Nothing I can do about it. If it's in the refrigerator, if it's in the freezer, I'm going to eat it. I like ice cream. What do you want? Well, these kids, I mean, they go into environments that they're not used to. From loving, caring environments into very dangerous environments where they are abused. They get into crime. The young girls get pregnant at, you know, 14, 15. From either one of the other kids or the foster parent. Somebody. And there's no reason to destroy these lives. There's no reason for that, to make the numbers look good, so you can keep your phony baloney little job, you can get a bonus. These are children, these are parents, these are people that we're dealing with here. So human beings, and human beings are people. Does anybody think about what the hell they're doing before they do it? Evidently not. Well, if we can keep online tomorrow night, unbelievable. But if we can stay online tomorrow night, Angel Cook is due to come on. You want to hear her story. Probably seen it on YouTube. You've probably seen it on Facebook. It's been everywhere. It's absolutely, I want to hear more of it. But everything that I have heard, and she's testified before. So she's told this story a million times. Well, we're going to get her, if we can get her on tomorrow night, we're going to get her to tell it a million and one. And you want to hear it. All of these stories are important. Every damn one of them are important. And there's far too many of them. And I'm sick and tired of them. But hers is a very tragic story. And all she did was just exercise her, you know, her instinct as not only a mother, but a human. And wanted to take care of children that didn't have anybody to take care of them. And she gladly said, okay, fine. going to drop these children off in my, literally, on my lap and leave. What was a woman supposed to do? Throw them on the ground? Put a turn to sender on their head? Put them back in the mail by postman to come? I mean, what was this woman supposed to do? Well, she did what people do and decided to take care of them. And then that's when everything went downhill. God forbid if you show any love and care towards another human being these days. And this is all this crap is coming from the party that, oh, peace and love, hope and change. The Tea Parties are haters. Well, Nancy Rubenstein is due to come on with her tomorrow. You know who she is. She's been on here a few times. Del Gaitis. I got to figure out how to actually pronounce her actual last name. Nancy Rubenstein Del Gaitis. I think that's how you pronounce it. But she is the educational director and volunteer coordinator of the Law for Psychiatric Rights. Psychiatric. See, I can still never say that word. A nonprofit public interest advocacy organization. She does a lot of work. She does a lot of work for a lot of people. And she's good people. So she's going to come on. Hopefully we'll stay online. We don't have to be cut off. And Angel Cook, you want to tune in tomorrow night to hear that. You want to tune in tomorrow night and hear her story. Why, again, I don't understand why this is not front page news. Every day. I don't get it. There's too many of these stories out there. The media has covered it. You know, the local news, they cover it, and then that's it. They do one story. That's it. Why the mainstream has not picked up on this? I can't figure it out. I don't know. Why? Children being kidnapped and removed from school, removed from their classrooms, and as they're walking to the car, being pulled out of the class, your mother doesn't love you anymore. She doesn't want to be with you anymore. She doesn't want you anymore. Your mother doesn't love you anymore. Now, what the hell is that to say to a child? When the mother kissed him on, you know, in the morning when she sent him off to school, never showed any signs that the mother, you know, didn't want anything to do with the child. So why would they do that? Well, there's a lot of very sick and twisted people out there, and they need help. And the only way to help them is throw them in jail, as far as I'm concerned, for life. You don't get no parole. Screw parole. What you're doing to these families? It's worse than killing them, because they're having to be alive and suffer. And even if they do get reunited, that's permanent damage that you've done. That doesn't go away. That's permanent. That's permanent damage. And you don't care. Well, you got a new car. Why should you care? You finally got that second home on the lake? Oh, it's beautiful. Why should you care? Ah, oh, look at you. You get to keep your job and you get a bonus. Wow, why should you care? So we got some more hearings coming up. Michelle Ryder, she's got a hearing come up on the 23rd. It looks like Michelle, or Melissa Willis, will be on the program Monday. Or is it Tara Miller coming on Monday? We got a lot of people coming on. And as far as I'm concerned, these come first, man. We got to get these stories out. So if they want to come on, they come on. They're all welcome. So I rearrange everything that I'm talking about these families. And I'm not going to stop talking about them until we get them home. All right, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day here now. This is from foreignpolicy.com. This Obama administration does not ever cease to amaze you with just the level of, I don't know what the word, I mean, incompetent doesn't really quite fit it. Yeah, it's incompetent, yeah. But it's a deeper word. There's a lot to it. I figure out why. How somebody could not tell that this is not going to work and then don't suggest it. And then the person, which is the president, takes that advice and actually does it. This guy does not care who the hell he lies to or lies about. Well, he keeps telling the world he has this great and wonderful, all-powerful coalition to fight ISIS. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Only one problem. Most of these countries have no idea they're on the list. I mean, this guy, he just, because somebody publicly comes out and says, yeah, terrorism is bad. Well, Obama puts him on the coalition list. I mean, and these countries are like, what? What are you talking about? What is this? What the coalition list? What do you? What? Yeah, you're on right here. Yeah. The coalition. Yeah, they've got a few countries doing a little bit, but we're doing a little bit. What the hell are we doing? You see, Obama, what Obama wants is he wants the Muslim community to go out there and do the work, which in order for this war to finally end, yeah, they're going to have to do it. But they're not doing it. They're not going to do it. Not right now, anyway. He doesn't understand that. He wants to win this war, but he doesn't want to fight it. Well, how are you going to win it? Expecting other people to do it because you suggest it? Ain't going to happen. Look, if we don't want to fight them over there, we at least have to fight them here. And yeah, they are here. And what I mean by fighting them here is we got to start throwing them out. Those kinds of people, no, I'm sorry, but if you're coming over to this country and you want to do us harm, no, you should not be allowed to set foot on this soil. And if you're a terrorist, absolutely not. You don't set foot on American soil. You can make it as far as Guantanamo Bay, and that's it. That's it. That's as far as you get. But you're not allowed to set foot on American soil. I mean, that's me. And of course, now Obama, he's acknowledging now he's got setbacks. Setbacks? Well, you know, there'll be days of progress, but also periods of setbacks. Well, that's what happens when you don't have a strategy. I mean, this is embarrassing. I mean, this man, I mean, just continues to embarrass this country. Saying, oh, there's no quick fixes. Well, when you're not, you know, really fixing anything, of course you're not going to get any quick fixes. But, I mean, that's just me using logic and that kind of crap. Our coalition is united behind this long-term effort. So now it's a long-term effort. Well, I remember at 9/11, and George Bush said that this was going to be a long-term effort. And, you know, the left, they ridiculed that. You know, they wanted the war on terror to be over in, you know, a month. They called Bush a warmonger because he wanted to extend the war. Well, what's Obama doing? I mean, leading from behind doesn't work. But again, if we're not going to fight him over there, we need to fight him over here and start throwing him out. Keeping that kind of way of life, I mean, if you want to practice it, you know, in your own country, fine. But here, no. We don't stone our women and cut their heads off. We don't do that. We don't crucify people. We don't, you know, we don't tell people who eat to eat it. Well, now there's a question with Turkey, anyway, which we have an American air base over there. And America wants to use that base to conduct some of their missions in Iraq and in Syria. Well, on Sunday, Yücel said that the Ankara, I guess is how you pronounce it. I don't know. I don't speak Turkey. So, I don't know. Well, evidently they claim that, you know, U.S. officials claim that this Ankara had given the green light. But then, you know, hours later, Turkish officials said no. In fact, they categorically denied it. Said, no, we did not agree to no air, you know, bases to be used against ISIS. Well, according to this article, there's two causes here. One is political, where the White House is very eager to show that a war-weary, what they call, war-weary American public. Well, if we would allow the military to fight the wars rather than the politicians, we'd have a few more victories and we wouldn't be war weary. But that's me. The White House wants to show the world that they're not, you know, they're not going into this, you know, alone. They want the American people to see, you know. We're not doing this alone like George Bush. Well, actually, George Bush had a real coalition compared to Obama. Obama doesn't have anybody. I mean, he might have a few, you know, little pockets of armies here and there that are, you know, dropping off a couple of bombs from time to time. But there are no boots on the ground. Nobody wants to put boots on the ground. Obama thinks by, you know, just saying, well, we're going to go bomb and we'll give humanitarian aid, but you're going to have to put the boots on the ground. These countries are, no, that's the United States' job. It's not ours. Well, Mr. Obama, it's not going to work. And then there's another one. the White House, for whatever reason, is consistently misreading its partners and overestimating them. For whatever reason, they say hello to each other in a hallway there in Belgium or wherever they're at with their stupid little summits. And Obama just, well, okay, well, you're this and you're that, and just starts assuming, and okay, boom, 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 put him on this list and that list. And Obama, you got to be careful here. You're dealing with countries that just don't really, they just don't put up with it. You know, he thinks the world is, you know, his little voting base. He can do whatever he wants to. No, you can't. I guess in September, when Foreign Policy reported the details of a secret offer, they called it a secret offer, by Georgia, the nation of Georgia, not the state, to host a training camp for anti-ISIS fighters. And it prompted a big public backlash. Hours after that, the Georgian officials, they denied of making such an offer. The Georgian foreign minister said, "I categorically rule out military participation or training base in Georgia." So Obama thinks that he can just go out there and say this and then put pressure on him and they'll just go ahead and do it? Because you say it, everybody's supposed to just go along with it? Oh, he's got a Nobel Peace Prize, so yeah, I guess you have to. And last month, the Slovenian prime minister said his government opposed terrorism, but expressed annoyance, they said, because his country was included on the U.S. government's official list of anti-ISIS partners. And they're claiming they have over 60 of these countries. But because the government claims that they are opposed to terrorism means that Obama is now on the list, so they can, can show their voting booth. Look at all the countries that are on this list. What? You didn't think they'd find out? I mean, this guy's an idiot. You didn't think that, these countries would find out that you lied about them? I mean, what's the matter with you? He says, "I'm bothered by the fact that we have been placed on the list without government's knowledge. We will have to voice some sort of protest." Uh-oh. "It's not appropriate to consent to our country being placed anywhere without our consensus." Well, yeah. I mean, this guy thinks he's got tyranny over the whole country here, so he can just go out now and have tyranny all over the world. He can tell people what to think, how to think, what they're doing, what they believe in. I mean, boy, this Valerie girl, she's really got a stronghold on old Obama. I wonder what she's got on him. Why she gets away with all of this crap. And this has all come from her. Come on, please. Please. I don't think Obama's smart enough to come up with some of this stuff. Even though it's all stupid, but this is all her. And for what? I don't know. I don't know. John Kerry, we all know who he is. He's another just almighty. Just, oh, please, Mr. Carey, find something else to do, and stay out of government, please. Because we have countries in the region, countries outside the region, in addition to the United States, all of whom are prepared to engage in military assistance. Really? He insisted, though, that the United States would not send ground forces. That's all they're worried about. We're not going to send any ground forces. Oh, no, no. But that countries have offered to do so. Really? Who? There are no countries that have offered to put boots on the ground. So because they go out and they say it, they think their base will believe it, and the rest of the world won't find out about it. And what? Look, this isn't a campaign speech here. You can't run a country like a campaign, Mr. Obama. Running countries are different than running a campaign. There are no countries that are offered to send in ground forces. You do not have a legitimate coalition. You have nothing. ISIS is getting bigger. They're not getting smaller. They're getting bigger. Much bigger. All right, we've got to take a little time out here, and hopefully everything will work. Nothing seems to be working in the damn place here tonight. Look at this. Nothing works here tonight. I can't figure anything out. We're gonna. It works. Well, this song is fitting. This is not my America. We do not kidnap children. We do not lie and say we've got a coalition when we don't. We don't do any of this stuff. Now, if this works, we'll be back in 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Well, looks like...
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no-smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue. They ain't us,
gas. I can tell you right now, this country ain't supposed to be like that.
Continuing on to where we left off, Washington now insists. They're always insisting. You ever notice that? Every time they insist on something, that means that they're lying. They are now insisting that they're not coordinating directly with Tehran, which is Iran. Discussions on the topic may have taken place. And look, this, I mean, I just we shouldn't be talking to Iran about anything. A White House National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, that makes me sick to say that. National Security Advisor. Well, she went on Meet the Press Sunday, said, we're not in coordination or direct consultation with the Iranians about any aspect of the fight against ISIL. They still call it ISIL. I guess that means, you know, the Levant. It means it doesn't include Israel, and they like that because they don't like Israel for whatever reason. I don't know. We're not in coordination or direct consultation with the Iranians. Not in coordination or direct consultation. That's just a very, they're just changing the words here. Well, yeah, we're not coordinating anything. We're not in direct consultation. For whatever direct consultation means. But we are having conversation. We've had some informal consultations. Well, what is the difference of an informal consultation and a direct consultation? See, they're playing with words there. Pass each other by in the hallway at some summit. That's an informal consultation. I guess they can talk about whatever they want to. And they still talk about, you know, on the sidelines are ongoing nuclear negotiations. Well, any talks that this administration talks to Iran about nuclear negotiations, this president's going to make sure that, well, Iran gets that nuclear bomb. See, Valerie Goebbels is Iranian, so she wants her home country to have a nuclear weapon. Like everybody else. You get a country like Iran, they will use it. I mean, North Korea, yeah, I think they're smart enough to know that if they do use it, they will be completely wiped out. But does Iran care? Not really. No, they don't. And would this administration do anything about it if they wiped out Israel with a nuclear bomb? No. Not a lot. But you know damn good and well this administration is talking to Iran. this administration is talking to anybody that's bad. They're talking to Al Qaeda. All these damn names, that's what happened in Benghazi, that, you know, facilitating weapons with the wrong people, then try to get them back, which is a stupid idea. So they can give them to their friends over in Syria to topple Assad. That's all that was about. Well, you're going to give any kind of terrorist organization a whole bunch of weapons. Well, we didn't give it to them. They got them. We allowed them. We didn't really step in the way of these weapons getting into their hands. Let's put it that way. And then try to get them back so we can give them to our friends over in Syria so they can topple Assad. But you're not going to give a terrorist organization a bunch of weapons and then say, give us, we want them back. And they're going to say, okay, here you are. No, one, we're not going to give you our weapons back. And when you least expect it, that means that's us. And we're going to burn your place down and try to shoot you all. And that's what they did. They specifically targeted our ambassador. They went straight for him. He was the main target. Once they got him, everything else was gravy. But their main target was to get the ambassador. I guess was, for whatever reason, I don't know, this administration, they didn't like him anymore. I mean, I'm not pointing fingers and saying that, you know, our administration put a hit out on our ambassador. But we didn't do a hell of a lot to, one, protect him. And two, defend him. So, the guys on the ground think that if there was some cooperation with Washington in the very beginning, that Chris Stevens and everybody else that died would have, well, lived. So begs the question, was this deliberate? Because we didn't send any help. Well, we didn't give a stand-down order. Yeah, but you didn't give a stand-up order either. Which is no different than giving a stand-down order. Oh, do everything you can to help them, but don't send anybody. Well, then what are we supposed to do? Well, I don't know. Pray. Don't worry, we'll get the FBI there in a few weeks. CNN will be there, though. You need anything, just, you know, go to CNN. They'll help you out. Unbelievable. Well, Turkey is saying, no, this is, we don't have this base. Susan Rice is saying that, oh, yeah, they do. Administration is saying, no, Susan Rice, she didn't contradict herself. She didn't lie. She never lied. She comes out there and says all this blah, 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 blah. But everything she says is great and wonderful. And no, she doesn't stretch the truth. She doesn't lie. But every word out of her mouth is a lie. And she knows she's lying. We don't have any bases. We don't have a coalition. We don't have anybody on our side. This president, I hate using that word with this guy, but this president has all but gotten rid of all of our allies. He's pissed them all off. And the people that used to not like us really hate us. We have no respect anymore. We have no respect. Nobody fears us anymore. Nobody gives us any respect. That's America now. America is a bunch of chumps. Let's your chest here. Let's see what kind of booty we can plunder tonight. God only knows what we'll end up with, but... The Obamacare website, look at this now. I mean, this is how cheap and petty this administration is. They're incompetent. They have no idea what they're doing. There is no foreign policy with this government. This government has no concept of foreign policy. They have no coalition. They have no friends in the world anymore. This country is very vulnerable. Well, we've got 60 nations, oh yeah, in our coalition. No, you do not. Yeah, they're not going to send any soldiers, but they contributed $25,000 to the International Organization for Migration in northern Iraq. So, is that what you, that's all it takes to get on Obama's list here? Is 25 grand? $25,000. $25,000, and that's going to go and help fight ISIS. Yeah. And that's a coalition. That's part of your coalition, Mr. Obama. I mean, this is how, I mean, these people will. Somebody goes on a website. Well, automatically they purchased something off of that website, like healthcare. And with this healthcare, they're not going to reveal any of the insurance costs until after, of course, after the midterm elections. And why is that? Well, they're going up. Another anywhere from 11 to 19%. Some of them have already gone up over 50, and now they're going to go up again. But according to Obama, we're going to lower, $2,500 on the average family. The average family is going to save $2,500 a year. Wow. The average family, $2,500 a year. See, what they don't tell you is they raise it up, 5,000, and then, they lower it down, and they tell you you're saving. Well, it would have been much more, but because of Obamacare, it's not that much more. It's only a little bit more. Yeah, but it's still more. Well, but just not as much. So there you are, you're saving. No. No. A saving is when I make X amount of money and I'm able to have some of it left over that I don't spend and I put it over in an Al Gore lockbox and I keep it there. That's saving. I mean, my God. Negative math. I mean, anybody can come with that stuff. Anybody can finagle numbers. I made a good living at finagling numbers. It just doesn't mean that they're right. You got to watch out for these people. Well, they're not going to give out any of the findings, any of the numbers until after the election, 11 days after the midterm. Well, Democrats are going to lose anyway. They pulled their ads in Kentucky, which were disgusting. I was going to play them, but no, they don't know. I talked about them the other night. I don't know if I was on the air or not. I mean, God almighty. Two nights in a row I've had this happen. Lost a whole show last night. I think it was last week I lost another one, too. I think it was Friday I lost. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm sick and tired of it. Well, they're coming the inaugural enrollment period, which, I mean, I don't understand why they got to do it with the health care. You've got an enrollment period. Look, it's just a way to gouge you. It's just a way to control your health care. So the only ones who are allowed to make money are the chosen people. Which I understand, it's health care. You've got to have some kind of, you know, control of sort. But the patient must have the majority of the control of, one, what, you know, what treatment they're going to get. And if they don't want to get it, they shouldn't have to get it. And if their child is being treated by a doctor that the parent doesn't like the treatment, they have the right to take that child and take him down the road and get another opinion. That's their prerogative. Not the doctors, not the DCF, not the government, not the cops, not the judges, psychiatrists, nobody. Well, the government doesn't like that. The government wants that power. The government wants that control. Once they get wind that you're thinking on your own, oh, no. You don't, no. No, on your own. No, you think what we tell you to think. And only when we tell you to think it, and you will like it. Well, you know what they're doing. They're doing this on purpose. They don't want you to know that you're going to get raped by Obamacare again. And it's only going to get higher and higher and higher. It's going to get to a point where nobody's going to have it because nobody can afford it. I mean, this is, I mean, well, Anna, which, hey, look, Mary Landrieu, hey, you did this on your own. I don't feel sorry for you at all. You deserve to lose your seat. After what you did, you blindly accepted Obamacare, went out there, you were touting it, oh, it's the greatest thing. You never read it. And you blame Republicans as being haters and this and that because, you know, they wanted to take away, you know, health care from women. That meant abortion. That's all liberals are about. That's women's health care, is abortion care. Nothing else. Well, Mary Landrieu, you didn't read the bill and you voted for it. And you pissed off your entire constituency because when they got it, they didn't like it. And you shoved it down their throat. So now you got to live with the consequences. Wow, you know, politicians, they don't like that. They don't want to be held responsible. It's never their fault, somebody else's. Well, you know, Mary Landrieu, that's my fault for, you know, actually praising you at one point. After 9/11, I mean, this girl was making sense. And she was. She was clear. She was articulate. She was, you know, direct. She wasn't using politics to base her, you know, her opinions on the issue. And I thought, hey, you know, for a liberal, you know, hey, you know, for a Democrat, you know, I like this girl. Well, she showed her colors. And now you got to deal with it. I don't feel sorry for you, Mary Landrieu. You deserve to lose. Now your brother, I guess is the mayor of New Orleans or... They come from a long family. I'm sure that they're corrupt. Look, if you're into politics, you got a whole family into politics, you're corrupt. Just the way it is. I don't have evidence. Democrats don't need evidence. DCF doesn't need evidence. The cops don't need evidence. President, he doesn't need evidence. So why should I? All right. Journey 2,500 years back in time to discover the ancient secrets of Persia on this 13-day itinerary, incorporating some of the most well-preserved archaeological sites in the world. Welcome to the once forbidden land of Iran. Tehran is an interesting fusion of old meeting new. Conservative elders uphold the traditions of the illustrious Persian past, while the young and fashionable adopt a new trendy joie de vivre. The joie de vivre, which I guess this means enjoyment of life. The joy of life, blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, that didn't make you sick. There's something wrong with you. But believe it or not, that is a sales pitch for the New York Times' latest money-making promotion. Tehran is an interesting fusion of old meeting new. Really? Conservative elders uphold the traditions of the illustrious Persian past. That's called stoning. And that's what they do. They do stone. Now, the young and fashionable adopt a new trendy joie de vivre, which I guess is cutting heads off. Believe it or not, but the New York Times is producing, this promotion for a mere $6,995. If you act now, you can accompany Times correspondent Elaine Scialino, I don't know. Who knows? She's well respected in the field, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of reporters, so I don't really know a lot of their names. It doesn't matter. You accompany this woman as you journey across country through beautiful landscapes. Really? Arid mountains and rural villages to experience vibrant bazaars. Get lost in ancient cities. Yeah, I'm sure you will get lost. And learn about the traditions and cultures of Iran. Beheadings and stonings and crucifixions. Oh, and you'll stay in a luxurious hotel. They've got lush photos. They've got it all. They've got brochures. They're ready for business. They want people to travel to Iran. They don't like Americans. Why would you want to go to a country like Iran? They don't like Americans. And why would the New York Times even doing such a stupid promotion to go over there with a reporter? Is the New York Times really that pressed for cash? Okay, it's only $7,000. $7,000 really isn't going to do much for a newspaper. So how many would you need in order? My problem is I don't understand why human beings don't use their brains anymore. I mean, this is stuff that you, this is stuff you should not even talk about. We should not even be having this conversation right now. This is the ridiculous conversation that we're having here right now. But yet here we are. We're having it. This is a reality. This is what we live in now. The New York Times is out of money. And for only a mere $6,995, if you act now, it's only if you act now. What does it go up to if you don't act now? I don't know. Maybe 10 grand. I don't know. But you get to a company, a New York Times correspondent, as you journey across country through beautiful landscapes, arid mountains and rural villages to experience vibrant bazaars. In Iran? No, the only thing you're going to experience is a kidnapping, a torture, and then a beheading, or a stoning, or a hanging, or a crucifixion, or a shooting, or a stabbing, or set on fire, however they decide to kill you. But why the Times would do this, I mean, it really shows where this newspaper is at. Who is actually running this newspaper? And why are they running it the way that they're running it? Well, it looks out that there was a Jewish newspaper, the Almig Minor, well, a reporter, he wanted to check it out, so he called the number that they gave, so you can get your $6,999 if you act now. Tour of Iran, the beautiful landscapes. And they, what did they say here now? What did they say? The conservative elders uphold the traditions of the illustrious Persian past. That's a stoning. They can't put that in the brochure. So this reporter called a number that was on this website and asked about the details of the trip. He specifically asked about Israeli passport holders. Well, quickly, that representative was on the phone. He gave it to somebody else. And somebody else gave it to somebody else. And finally, Kevin. It finally got to Kevin. Kevin must be the manager. Who stated definitively, nope, that anyone with a page in their a passport with an Israeli visa will be declined. I thought the New York Times, I thought they were an all-inclusive newspaper. Oh, all-inclusive except for the Jew. All right. I get it. The rep, Kevin, he went on. When asked if what would be all right to notify people during the trip of one's Jewish or gay identity, well, Kevin replied, I don't know if you'd want to tell that to everyone you met. I don't know if that'd be the best idea. Really? Really, Kevin? Going to Iran? Gay, you get hung. If you're Jewish, you get hung. If you're raped, gang raped, Well, it's your fault. Well, you showed your ankles in public, and you can't expect a man to control his urges. I'm going to see an ankle. Of course you've got to rape it. I mean, don't these women understand how men are? They can't control these urges. So, of course, the woman must be stoned for that. She'd have kept her damn clothes on and not provoked these men into having to rape her when she's got to get stoned. That is your a conservative elders upholding the traditions of the illustrious Persian past. And we want to have talks with these people. But we don't have any talks with these people. There's no talking. There's nothing to say. Unbelievable. What the hell is this now? Hawaii officials drop plan to name park for Obama. What? Why you would want to name a park for Obama in the first place? Ridiculous. Remember when he first got president, all these little grade schools, they all wanted to name their school after Obama because he won an election. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even inaugurated yet, and these schools want to change the name of their school to the Barack Hussein Obama Elementary School. He gets a peace prize for winning an election. He was, in office, a week? Somebody wakes him up, yeah, you won a Nobel Peace Prize. I did. Yeah. Wow, hey. I guess this being president thing is not too bad. Two Honolulu city councilmen have dropped plans to rename a popular beach for President Barack Obama. I want to name a beach after him. I mean, come on. The Honolulu Star Advertiser reports Councilman Stanley Chang. I'm Japanese, they come over, they bomb the living hell out of it, and now they've taken it over. I mean, are there any Hawaiians that live in Hawaii anymore? Are there any Hawaiians in Hawaii? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it. I heard talks that they want to go back to being independent. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me if they are or they're not. Whatever. Well, the councilman last week introduced a resolution to change the name of Sandy Beach Park to President Barack Obama Sandy Beach Park. Why? Why would that's too long anyway. President Barack Obama Sandy Beach Park. I mean, come on. Names of these stupid beaches and parks. Well, the man hasn't done anything to have any praise of any kind. He has done a thing that is considered successful. What did he succeed in? The shovel-ready jobs? Stimulus? Was that a success? No. Was Obamacare a success? No. The rates are only going to go up more and more and more every year. There's going to be fewer and fewer doctors, fewer and fewer care, or less and less care. And they got an Ebola outbreak. Look, I know you can't people for this outbreak, but it just seems to me that we knew that there was an outbreak going a long time ago. We all talked about it, all of us on Blog Talk Radio. Everybody was talking about it. And we knew before they sent this, before they brought this one patient over. It's like, why are you bringing this patient over here, this doctor that contracted it over there in Liberia? Well, keep him over there and treat him. Why keep bringing this stuff over here? I mean, you know that, look, and then you've got people coming over here, flying on the planes. Okay, fine, you can test your temperature and this and that and everything else. Okay, fine. They don't really know that much about it, but the more they are learning about it, the more they're finding out ways that Ebola can find a way. That's what diseases do. Diseases go out of their way. That's their job, is to find a way to, well, get bigger, to procreate, to make more, to expand. And they're pretty smart. Figure out ways. Okay, fine. It may not be treatable until you're showing symptoms. Well, what if it figures out a way to do that without showing symptoms? I mean, a travel ban, will it stop everything? No. Will it mitigate a lot of it? Yeah. So? And now I know Bill O'Reilly, he's all in a tizzy fit. He wants to have the CDC director. He wants to have him fired. Greta Van Susteren is fighting with him, saying, no, he shouldn't be fired. Well, the CDC director, I don't know. He's appointed by the president. Exactly what, how much influence Valerie Goebbels has on his decisions, I don't know. Firing this guy, I mean, I don't know. What is it going to do? You're just going to get somebody else who's going to be just as bad or worse. So really, what is that going to accomplish if you fire the CDC director? I mean, I don't know. What are you going to get out of it? We fired the VA director. Do the veterans get a doctor? Well, no. Oh, okay. So what is that firing going to do? Well, it's just going to get somebody else in there. The Obamacare website, that was a disaster. So they get rid of old Cat Sebelius, and they got some other joker in there, and we still have problems. We just need somebody in charge to say, hey, all you people that are in charge of all these departments, okay, you got to be in charge of them. So if they screw up, you screw up, and you pay the price. But in government, there's no accountability. There's no responsibility. Unless you're a Republican. So, well, that's about all we have here tonight. My voice is killing me. It looks like we finally got back online. I don't know what the hell happened last night and what the hell happened tonight. I certainly hope that this crap doesn't happen tomorrow night. Because Angel Cook is going to be on here with Nancy Rubenstein. We're going to hear her story, and you want to hear her story. You really do. I mean, it'll make you sick. It'll make you angry. And why, again, why this stuff is not on every front page of every newspaper. Why not a leading story of every newscast? I don't know. Kidnapping children, to me, is something that is, well, you can't ignore that. You have to actually do something about it. And to ignore it is, well, to be just as guilty, just as responsible. So I want to thank everybody listening here tonight. Vito Esposito, I know he's a good good listener. He downloads every night. I don't know exactly what the hell happened last night and tonight. I don't know, but it's scaring all the audience. They're pissed off. They don't want to come on here. Having to think you're listening, and then all of a sudden you're not. But tomorrow night, we should have a good show if she can make it. I know she's very busy. But this woman has a lot of stuff. She's telling her story wherever she can. She's testifying, and good for her. I really want to hear her story. It's very important that these stories get out. All of them. And there's far too many of them. Literally hundreds of thousands. Austin Blakely. Melissa Willis. We're out there. We're fighting for you. Angel Cook, we're still fighting for you. What they did to that family, unbelievable. And this is permanent damage when they do this, and they don't care. Hey, they got their bonus check. They don't care. It doesn't matter. They're not human beings. They're parents and they're children. They're dollar signs. They're not human beings. And we can't find anybody to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. I mean, that's unbelievable. We can't find, really, anybody in the mainstream media really covering it? I know Glenn Beck has done some stories on it, but, I mean, Fox hasn't done very much on it. NBC had a little bit of a story, but the problem is there's no follow-up. I mean, they do a story and people watch and go, oh, that's horrible. Oh, that's so sad. And then they go on about their lives. They never hear about it again. So they think it's fixed. Because NBC did a news story on it. It's now fixed. Is that what it is? It's not fixed. If it was fixed, we wouldn't be talking about it. And it's going to take America to fix this problem. It can't just do one organization. Me and Lou Bussey, we can only do so much. These parents can only do so much. One lawyer can only do so much. One judge, one cop. It's going to take America. That's what it's going to take. The entire country standing up and saying, no, we are not about to let our brothers and sisters being kidnapped so somebody can get a bonus. So somebody can play around with medical experiments. So somebody can get more money, more federal dollars, so they can keep their job and hire more of their friends. We don't do that. That's not civilized behavior. That is unacceptable. It's disgusting. As far as I'm concerned, if it were me, it would be death penalty. But I understand there's a lot of reasons, a lot of heartache, so here. I will accept life in prison without any possibility of parole. You're going to kidnap children for monetary reasons, kidnap them to conduct medical experiments on them, whatever the reason. And there are literally endless reasons of why people are using children to kidnap. Everybody seems to find a way, well, a child, that's easy to do. That's a coward. Cowards are bullies, because bullies pick on people they can pick on. That's a coward. And these people are bullies. And they are cowards. And we will fight them. And we will defeat them. I want to thank everybody listening tonight, everybody on their smartphones. Sorry about the back and forth with the on and off crap. That's not me. I don't know what the hell's going on, but hey, we finally ended up finishing the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And make sure you tune in tomorrow night, 8 p.m., to hear Angel Cook. We'll see you tomorrow.